Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. Anytime you're in Huntsville, we hope you'll come be part of our worship. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. We hope you'll enjoy this lesson brought to us by Glenn Colley.
It's not so uncommon when I preach here in West Huntsville to have a real heart for our kids, and to plan a sermon or sermons in view of the fact that I really want to be a part of grounding them in the faith. And I know what that means. So what we've got to do very often is teach basic principles. And I'm kind of excited about talking about this one tonight because it means so much to my life. If you talk to people in Huntsville, Alabama who are religious, most of them attach themselves to Jesus Christ. But if you ask them, what is your religion? Chances are they're going to say something different from, I'm a Christian. It's not that they're ashamed of being a Christian or calling themselves Christian. They'll help. I mean, if you ask some more questions, they'll tell you, I'm a Christian, and they'll be rather proud of that. But that's not the answer to the question that they will give. If you say, what are you religiously? In most cases, what they're going to do is to say, and they're going to reference their particular denomination. And that's kind of interesting. If they're part of a mainline denomination, they may say, well, I'm a Baptist, or I'm a Methodist, or I'm Episcopal. If they are members of one of the more with it community kind of churches, they may say, he may say, well, my wife and I are, we go to the Rock, or whatever it may happen to be. All that's kind of interesting to me because the word denominate from denomination, denominate, Webster's dictionary says, means to name a thing. And we have lots of different names for lots of different faiths under this umbrella of Christendom. But all of this is inconsistent with the New Testament because the disciples were called Christians. As I was preparing for this morning's sermon during the week, well, I came across Acts 11 and 26, and I thought, what I was planning to preach Sunday night is not this, but I really want to do this. And so I changed my subject to this. I want to talk about the name Christian. Now, the name Christian is found three times in your New Testament. Don't minimize the importance just because it's there only three times. The way the phraseology around it is very substantial. The first one is Acts 11 and 26. The disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. The next is Acts chapter 26 and verse 28. And Paul is talking to Agrippa, and Agrippa uses the word. He says to Paul, almost you persuade me to be a Christian. The third occurrence is when Peter used it in 1 Peter 4 and verse 15. He says, now don't any of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or a busybody in other men's matters. Yet, if anybody suffers, here it is, as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Christian. Now, here's the first thing I want you to know about the word, the name, is that it originated with God. This is really a big deal, I think, because among those in Christendom who really want to denominate and they really want to wear different denominational names, they find it offensive that we would suggest that Christian is something that God tagged us with. This is a God name. But the fact is it is. So here's Acts chapter 11 and verse 28 again. The disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Now, sometimes in the Bible, in the New Testament, you'll have the word called, and it doesn't have a great deal of unusual significance. I mean, James chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, don't the rich people blaspheme, he's talking to Christians, the rich people blaspheme that worthy name by which you are called. Well, in that place, the Greek word for called there just means what you think. It just means people call them Christians, that's all. But not in Acts 11. In Acts 11:26, The Greek word strongly means called by God. And sometimes you'll find the Greek word used. I'm going to show you some examples of it. But sometimes it will be translated warned of God. Sometimes just called. But the Greek word means called by God, that God was the one who did this. Now, let me show you some examples of where the Greek word is used. Here's Matthew chapter 2 and verse 12. And this is about Joseph and Mary, and she's going to birth the baby. Then being divinely warned, and I've underlined that because that's the Greek word. The same one is called in Acts chapter 11, 26. Being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed to their own country. Divinely warned. Now jump with me to Acts chapter 10, verse 22. This is familiar to you, Cornelius, remember? And Peter is at his house, and a couple of men come from the house of Cornelius to say, we want you to come and teach us. All right. In that discussion, they said this, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed, same Greek word, divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you. That means called of God. Now, here's the next one. Let's go to Romans chapter 7. This one's interesting to me for a couple of reasons. If you're teaching about the subject of marriage and divorce, Romans 7 is very interesting, but watch this. So then if while her husband lives, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she's no adulteress, though she be married to another man. But look at the word called here, because it's the same one, and it means called by God. It's not just that people would refer to her as an adulteress, it's that God would view her in that way. And so she is out of sync with God and needs to repent and make things right with him. And here's one more. It's Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. Again, probably a familiar passage to you, but it's about Noah. By faith, Noah, ready for this? Being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Warned, or divinely warned, or warned of God. It's the same Greek word that we have in our main passage right now, Acts 11 and 26, which says that the disciples were called Christians. The import of this is that people didn't think up this name Christian. It wasn't of human origin. This came from God. Now, here's the second thing, is that the history behind it is really rich. Go to the next passage with me. It's the timing of the name. Now, there are a couple of passages that touch on this, and one of them is Acts chapter 9. And to be honest with you, I never had thought about Acts 9 in this regard until I was preparing for this sermon. But I want to build up by using this. Remember, the Lord said to him, this is to Ananias. So Saul has been persecuting Christians. We talked about that this morning. And he's headed to Damascus. He's got papers. He's going to find Christians and punish them. And a bright light came from heaven, and the Lord Jesus spoke to him on the road to Damascus. Now, he wasn't saved on that road. He wasn't saved until he went into town. Simultaneous with that, Ananias is getting a word from the Lord. And the Lord says, now I'm sending Saul to you. Oh, Ananias says, I don't think we want to do this. I've heard about him. I'm afraid of him. I know what he does to Christians. So I'm not sure about this, Lord. And here's what Jesus said to Ananias. He's a chosen vessel of mine, now listen to this, to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, children of Israel, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, I'm not sure this has to do with the point I'm making, but I believe it does. And I want you to think about this. The name is Christian. He's going to bear my name. And he's going to bear my name to the Gentiles. Which takes us to prophecy. Now go to Isaiah chapter 62 in verse 2. This is a big one. He's prophesying about the church that's going to be established, the church of our Lord. And he says, the Gentiles shall see your righteousness and all kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will name. Now get that. So there's going to come a time when the Lord's going to give us a new name. What will be the timing of this? And the answer is that it's going to come when the Gentiles get the gospel. When they get the good news, then it's going to happen. Hold that thought. Now back to Acts chapter 11 and verse 26. The disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Well, what has just happened? Acts chapter 10, you have Cornelius and his house, Gentiles. Cornelius and his house taught by Peter. They're baptized. Now they're Christians. Get to Acts chapter 11. This is big. Remember the sermon this morning talking about Antioch? And so the people that were baptized in Acts 2, that 3,000, they came out of Jerusalem, especially when Stephen was stoned in Acts 7. Man, they just spread out. And some of them went to Cyprus. Some of them got to Antioch. They're teaching Gentiles. Not just the Jews, but they're teaching Gentiles. And this church is begun in Antioch, a Gentile church. That's Acts chapter 11. And so the Jerusalem church sends Barnabas to go see about this, to help him and find out about this. And so Barnabas gets there and he goes and gets Saul and they build up the church. They spend a year there in this Gentile church, and it's there that Acts chapter 11, 26 says the disciples were called Christians first there. It was there in Antioch. What's the big deal? It fulfills prophecy. And the prophecy is that I'm going to call him by a new name. The Lord's going to name this name, and it's going to be when the Gentiles see your righteousness, when they see your glory, then I'm going to give you the new name. What was the name? The disciples were called by God Christians first in Antioch. Now, that's a marvel to me. I don't wear the name Christian because humans were criticizing those who followed Jesus and they pinned it on us. Christians. Oh no, this is glorious. I wear the name Christian because God gave it to me. Now, a couple of my friends gave me a hard time about holding the Book of Mormon this evening. I brought a Book of Mormon with me. And I don't know, I just do this because I think this is kind of interesting and I thought you might find it interesting too. The disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. I think that's critical. I mean, every word of it's critical. This is the first time this name. So they were disciples before that, but they were called Christians first in Antioch. Now here's the Book of Mormon, Alma chapter 46. I want to start in the middle of verse 13 in the Book of Mormon. And he bowed himself to the earth and he prayed mightily. This is Moroni, one of the prophets of the Mormons. He bowed himself to the earth and he prayed mightily unto his God for the blessings of liberty to rest upon his brethren, so long as there should a band of Christians remain to possess the land. For thus were all the true believers of Christ who belonged to the church of God called by those who did not belong to the church. Who called them that name Christian? Those who didn't belong to the church. And those who did belong to the church were faithful, yea, all those who were true believers in Christ took upon them gladly the name of Christ, or Christians, as they were called, because of their belief in Christ, who should come, hadn't come yet. And this was, according to the Mormons, 73 B.C. In 73 B.C., these people were called Christians before Christ came. They were called Christians. Well, Joseph Smith made a mistake on that one, because the Bible says in Acts chapter 11 and 26, the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. In James chapter 2 and verse 7, James is talking in the context of how we welcome people into our assemblies. And you remember a rich man comes in and he says, you go to rich man, fancy clothes, fancy rings, fancy money. And you say, oh, let us give you a fine seat. But somebody comes in who doesn't possess those things. And we may treat him in an ill way, like we don't care a snap about whether or not he's here. We don't really care about his soul because he doesn't impress us like others might. And James just chastises them for that because they're respecter of persons. in that context, he's talking about the rich. And he says, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense at all that you praise the rich. And he says, don't the rich blaspheme that noble name by which you are called? Another translation says that worthy name. You look up the Greek word and what it means is this beautiful, this amazing name. Do you know what the name is? It's Christian. And here's what I want to urge you. And this is the end of the sermon. Here's what I want to encourage you about. For all of your life, when somebody says to you, what are you religiously? Say Christian. I'm a Christian. I was flying on an airplane last night, and I was coming into Atlanta. You always have to come into Atlanta. It's on a row that has three seats, and there was a woman by the window, and then there was an empty seat, and then me, and we had a brief conversation there, and somehow grandchildren came up. I'm not sure how that happened. And I said, well, I have one grandson, and his name is Ezra. And she said, well, that's a nice name. A very interesting name. Where'd you get that? And I said, well, we're Christians. And it came from the Bible. It seems to me that we're in a time where there's a great portion of the world that hates Christians. For that reason, I must never be ashamed of it. In fact, I'm so very thankful to be able to say it, legitimately say it. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. But in addition to that, when you enter into conversation with somebody who is in Christendom and you don't know them, it seems to me that it's a bit disarming to just say, I'm a Christian. And we can develop that. We can talk about it. But please never say, I'm a Church of Christ. First place, it's inaccurate. You're not. You can't be. A church is a group of people. And I've seen you, and you're not a group of people. Individually, you're not. Don't say, I'm a Church of Christ. No, you're not. Don't say that. And what I would urge you to say is what they said in the first century. This wasn't just what they were. Can you hear this old preacher? It wasn't just that they were Christians. It's that they were called Christians. And that's what we should be called. We're followers of the Lord Jesus Christ according to the pattern of the New Testament. What do you call people like that? Christians. We're Christians. It is the noble name. It is the worthy name. It is the name which God chose for us to wear. And the disciples were called this first in Antioch. Are you a Christian? It seems to me utterly fair to say that nobody's a Christian unless he has done what they did in the first century to become Christians. In view of the fact that it's God who designated them so, in view of the fact that the New Testament is his word, then what we need to do is go back and say, well, how come were they Christians, or by what criteria would you determine that a person was a Christian? And these people were Christians because they've been added to the church, the Lord's church. And in Acts chapter 2, they said, what shall we do? They wanted to be saved. And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And 3,000 of them did, and they became Christians. Now, they weren't called that until Acts chapter 11. They were disciples. But in Acts chapter 11, those people who had done those things were called Christians. It isn't enough to say, I'm a Christian because I live in a Christian nation. It isn't enough to say, I think that Christianity is kind of neat and I'm not into Islam, so I'll just call myself a Christian. You're not a Christian till the Lord calls you a Christian. And you become that by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you a Christian? If not tonight, you could become one. You repent of your sins. This is to say, I'm going to follow the teachings of Jesus Christ to the best of my ability, to turn away from what's wrong, to follow what's right. That's repentance. And you confess his sweet name. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And you're baptized because he said so in Mark 16:16. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. We should obey the gospel and be baptized in obedience to the one who said that. And he'll add you to his church, Acts chapter 2, verse 47, and you'll be a Christian. If you are a Christian, but you need to be restored tonight, now would be a great time. If you need the prayers of the Christians for any reason, we would be so happy to pray for you. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. Is there someone here who would like to respond? Come as we stand and sing.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to us by Glenn Colley. If you have comments or questions, Glenn can be reached by email at colley@westhuntsville.org.